Dino.com.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. According to the University of Scranton Journal of Clinical Psychology, nearly half of all Americans make New Year's resolutions. Unfortunately, the school reports that a mere 8% are successful at sticking to those resolutions, and 49% infrequently succeed, while 24% never do. Perhaps it's because the majority of these resolutions involve persons' physical well-being. For instance, this year, the number one resolution, and this is probably the case in almost every year, is to lose weight, a hard goal to stick to for a variety of reasons, and one we are not going to try and help you achieve this hour. What we are going to help you with is what turns out to be number three on this year's list of most popular resolutions: spending less and saving more. And really, shouldn't that be number one? Come on. After all, doing that can really help us all, but it can be particularly important if you are young, because the more you put away and the earlier you do it, the more money there will be for your retirement, especially when you consider the role of compounding. And the equally good news here is that younger people seem to be more successful than older people in sticking to their resolutions. However, we've invited some experts on this hour who have some practical, realistic ways to help you save more, spend less, and more importantly than all of this, I think, cut back on waste. And perhaps their approach will help even those of us who are more set in our ways succeed with our New Year's resolutions. And by the way, we're going to be keeping track of all these money-saving tips, so you don't have to. And you'll find a list when this is all over at WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks. We welcome Roland Wilkerson to our microphones here. He's assistant features editor of the Charlotte Observer, where he started a column called I'm So Cheap, which became a column called I'm So Clever, which has now become a book called, cleverly enough, I'm So Clever, more than 450 tips and tricks that will save you money and time. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Tara McAllister also deals with the Charlotte Observer. She is the deal diva for mom. She writes a blog for the Observer, and a lot of it revolves around couponing, which we will talk about. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
And I want to welcome back our old friend, Terry Bennett. Not old in any sense of the word, except for the fact that we've known each other. I knew that I put my foot in my mouth almost instantly, and I can't get it out. Terry Bennett is founder of Do Your Part, which is a website and a couple of publications that help people use unconventional or actually older-fashioned methods around the house in some cases, but newfound methods as well to be earth-friendly while saving money and being smart about your house.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
How you doing?
Nice to see you. The tips on being frugal that you're going to give us, Roland, I understand, can be achieved because they came from your readers at
exactly.
The Charlotte Observer and for the columns that you write. What gave you or the paper the idea to start this in the first place?
Right. Well, it started about 4 years ago when we got a letter in the features department where the writer had repurposed an ATM deposit envelope from a bank and used it as his own envelope. And we thought, you know what, there's probably a lot of funny things people do out there to try to save a few pennies. So we had a contest and invited people to send them in, and we ran them under the headline, I'm So Cheap. We ran it for a week, and we started hearing from people who said they liked it so much that we ought to keep doing it. So we turned it into a weekly column, and then eventually some people started suggesting that, they didn't like being called cheap. They liked being called frugal or thrifty. So one of our readers, Mindy Kirschbaum, suggested that we change it to I'm So Clever. And about 500 tips later, here we are.
Yeah, here you are, and the book is called I'm So Clever as well. And Tara, you say you caught the couponing bug several years ago and then started blogging about it and how to save money, how to spend less. Did it all start at the Observer? Or did they adopt your blog?
They kind of adopted me. Mm-hmm. It was something I started after the birth of our son, and learning how to coupon became kind of cool again with the recession, and tried to show folks it's not as hard as it sounds like or as extreme as they see it on TV. So I enjoy doing it. It's fun.
I've never seen that show, Extreme Couponing, but I know that back in the early 90s, Barbara McKay and I used to do a show on Channel 3 called Top of the Day. And every once in a while, we would have the coupon. I don't remember her name, but she was to me, she was the coupon lady. And she would come and sit on our couch and spread all these coupons out, these big file cabinets of coupons out, and talk about how to clip and sort and save and use coupons. Is that what you're doing?
Not to that extreme measure, I promise. I've got a full-time family, so I don't have time to do all those big books of coupons and run from store to store. So that was kind of the focus, is to do it on a common sense way instead of doing it to the extremists that I see sometimes at the grocery store or on TV.
Mm. I think everybody knows Terry Bennett's story, but in case they don't, maybe you're new to town, it bears some repeating. You're a meteorologist, a scientist, and when you decided to walk away from presenting highs and lows on TV.
And polar vortexes.
That's right. It's a new one on us.
Yes.
You decided to put that science to work in a different way, in a way that's earth-friendly and that people could use.
Really, it was really born out of my frustration with the political debate going on between climate change and going green. Mm-hmm. And certainly they are linked, but I just had too many people say to me, I don't recycle because I don't believe in climate change. And I thought, well, that's we're missing the boat here, so let's put the political debate over here, and I understand that well, and we can have that conversation. But let's also talk about going green, because it's not – you're not doing it for the polar bears. You're doing it because it creates a healthier environment where you live and where you're raising your family.
And not only that –
That's my passion.
And not only that, it can save you money.
It can absolutely save you money at the same time. It should not ever cost you more to go green.
Really?
Well, maybe initially up front there might be a bigger cost, but the long-term payoff is always in your favor.
So a good example of that might be LED light bulbs. They cost a fortune.
Well, you know, in the it's like anything else, Mike. You know, when the DVD player first came out, it was, you know, $500, but there were people still running out to buy them because it was the latest and greatest. Now you can buy one for $50. So LED lighting prices are coming down rapidly. And, you know, think about the concept. It's particularly, Tara, if you put a light bulb in your baby's nursery mm-hmm. when they come home from the hospital mm-hmm. and you could send them off to college with the same light bulb still working.
Right.
I mean, isn't that worth a $9 investment?
And costing you pennies as opposed to dollars when you turn it on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Both you and Roland, the tips that you both deal in require, I would think, the tips that come in from your readers and the tips that you suggest, require some effort over and above the normal effort of what would be required. In other words, if you want to use some of the things that you talk about, you have to mix the ingredients. You just can't go to the grocery store and pull spick and span off the shelf.
No, you just go to the grocery store and buy a gallon jug of vinegar. What's mm-hmm. the difference? It didn't require anything more than pulling off the bottle of spick and span.
Is the same true?
See, I disagree. It doesn't. You do not have to go above and beyond
to
do it a healthier way.
Is the same true for most of the tips in this book, Roland?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of my favorites, and that really made me realize this wasn't just people being super cheap, but that it made sense, was cutting a dryer sheet in half. One half a sheet works just as well as a whole, and all of a sudden, you know, there you go. You're buying, you know, you're using half as much. And at our house, we've started wrapping gifts in newspaper, not at Christmas. We still go high end there, but normally we just use the Observer. And
Sunday comics make great colorful wrapping.
Exactly.
And your gift stands out when you deliver it. I guarantee you, when you walk into that birthday party, the kid gravitates toward the one wrapped in the comics.
And for those who have not taken the paper in a very, very, very long time, you should know that the Observer does not come off on your hands.
That's exactly right. It's non-toxic ink. So.
Soy-based ink, yes. It's a soy-based ink.
Yeah.
And they're great in the garden as well, for those of us who do still get it, for fighting weeds and winterizing your garden.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's exactly why I still take the paper, because I use so much of it in my garden.
And the coupon inserts.
So you can use it for more than lining the birdcage, is what you're telling me.
Absolutely.
But now, was it your tip about putting papers in the garden, or was it in your book as well about using the paper in between rows of plants to keep weeds down?
Yeah, well, that's a common use for old newsprint. So Terry's advocated that a lot, and so have we. So yeah.
And does it become mulch on its own?
It breaks down, and the worms love it, and it will last. I put mine down in the spring, and it's still down at the end of the summer. And then I put cardboard down in the wintertime to keep all the acorns and everything out of the garden. It breaks down with the winter, and so I'm just tilling it back into the ground.
Do you cover it with dirt?
I mean, no. You put the paper down, and you get it wet. Then you spray it with water so that it doesn't become airborne. And you can put mulch on it if you like. If you're, you know, prone to want it to look a little bit nicer.
You know, your expertise is couponing to save money, and the tips that both you and Terry and Roland provide here also save money. Is most of the money, would you argue that most of the money that can be saved, aside from energy bill costs, can be saved by what you do not buy or what you save at the grocery store?
I don't think it's do not buy. It's thinking before you buy, doing that in a more in a better way. And as far as before you spend that dollar, knowing that you're spending that dollar the best way you can. You know, it's the vinegar. Vinegar is a wonderful cleaner, and good golly, you can get a big old jug of it for less than $2 at the grocery store, and that's huge savings. So it's just thinking about how am I going to spend this dollar the best way I can spend this dollar.
Mm-hmm. So, I completely agree. We always talk about being an educated consumer, you know, and vinegar, for example, when people say, yeah, it cleans, but what about the germs? Vinegar kills all viruses, the flu virus, influenza. I mean, it's a great virus cleaner, and hydrogen peroxide will kill all bacteria. So between those two ingredients, you can clean your entire kitchen and not have to worry about E. coli, salmonella, grease, any of those things.
And we've talked about this before, but I'll ask you again, what about the smell?
When vinegar dries, it doesn't smell.
And I've actually cut up lemons or oranges and put them in the bottle and let them sit in there for a little bit. And then it actually will give it kind of a citrusy smell when you apply it.
And you have a tip from a reader, Roland, in your book about using – they freeze pieces of lemon or orange and they throw them into the garbage disposal when it begins to smell bad and run the garbage disposal with this frozen lemon or orange.
Yeah, she called it a breath mint for a garbage disposal. So, you know you know, frankly, I'm not even sure you need a garbage disposal in a lot of cases. You just end up running a lot of water. And, you know, I think a lot of that you could just wrap up and, you know, throw away in the garbage or in
the compost. The compost pile.
Yeah, there are some people who think we should not have garbage disposals because the sewage system, the sanitary sewer system, was never really intended to carry bits and fragments of chicken parts and broccoli and things like that through it. What was it? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a modern invention that really probably shouldn't be.
You know, I'm not going to get into the discussion of whether it should or shouldn't be. I keep a drain right over my garbage disposal, so I catch the food before it goes down, and then I just use it in the compost. And occasionally, there's a reason where I will need the garbage disposal, and I'm glad that I have one, but I do use mine very infrequently.
You know, as we go through this show, it strikes me that there are going to be people out there who are going to go, gosh, it's the 21st century.
Right. What?
Let's get with the program here. Why would I go to all this extra effort? Does it really
save that much
money?
When you consider that food waste in the landfill is the number one cause of methane in our atmosphere, and methane is 22 times stronger than carbon dioxide.
Bigger than cows?
And it's terrible. Oh, it's so bad for the environment. All you have to do is not send food. We have to come to the point where we understand you cannot throw something in the ground, cover it up, and think it's gone. It just doesn't work that way.
Okay.
I mean, think about it.
Now, I want to begin with a tip that I never would have thought of, Roland, and I found it in your book, and it's that you can use fabric softener as a quick shoe shine. Now, I think that's a cool idea, but isn't fabric softener more expensive than shoe polish?
I think it was, if I remember correctly, and I'm not someone who shines my shoes, so they're pretty scuffed up.
They are, came on this program.
Right, okay. Well, yeah, I fit in well in the newsroom.
It's a great resource for radio.
But, no, I think it was a dryer sheet, if I remember correctly, and so the guy was just in a hurry, and he grabbed it, and it worked. So, and you know, you could probably use half a dryer sheet as well.
We're going to come back to that, because dryer sheets have a running theme in your book.
They're the solution.
We're going to have to take a break. We're going to come right back with more in a moment. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and the Belk College of Business at UNC Charlotte, hosting an info session for the Masters in Real Estate program Monday, January 13th at 12 p.m. Registration at belkcollege.uncc.edu/connect. Well, the housing market around the country seems to have stabilized. Home sales and prices are ticking up, but despite that good news, there have been some changes in the law that are going to make it more difficult, potentially, for some buyers to get financing and insurance. We're going to take a look at those things with actually the vice president of Freddie Mac, among others, tomorrow at 9. And then we'll close the week by taking a closer look at the Carolina Panthers playoff prospects this weekend. That's all tomorrow, right here.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords was injured in a mass shooting in Arizona 3 years ago, but gun control efforts have stalled at the federal level, where the debate stands today.
Join the conversation on the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about things you can do to save money in the new year and going forward from there. Little things, big things, strange things in some cases, and couponing as well. With Roland Wilkerson, who's the assistant features editor of the Charlotte Observer and the person who presides over the I'm So Clever column and compiled the I'm So Clever book, which is now available. Tara McAllister is the deal diva for moms. We'll talk more about couponing in a second. And Terry Bennett is founder of Do Your Part, a website that deals with earth-friendly ways to run your house that can also save you money. And we just talked about using a dryer sheet to polish your shoes. If you're in a, if you need to, you know, brush up your shoes very quickly, you don't have time to polish them. But that, I know that goes against your grain, Terry, because you don't believe in any kind of fabric softener.
Well, I, it's not the dryer sheet. The dryer sheet, I'm fine with that.
Because it's so versatile, as we'll find out in a moment.
Well, and I'm not buying the scented variety. For me, it's all about the scents. You know, the mountain air, all the air fresheners that we bring into our homes and the scents that we bring into our homes, really you'll find that they are overwhelmingly synthetic. Many of them contain formaldehyde or phthalates or other things, just really aren't great for you to be breathing in. Perfect example, I have a very good friend who loves to burn candles. And every time I go over there, my throat hurts and I just never wanted to say anything with her. She's one of my best friends. And finally she said to me, you know, every time I burn that candle, my throat hurts. I said, oh, thank goodness you finally figured it out. Those things are so bad for you. And she quit burning the candles. Her throat doesn't hurt anymore. If you have kids with asthma, that's the first place to start. Start removing the scents from your home, or allergies, kids with allergies. Start there. You will be amazed at the results.
So, but you don't advocate using fabric softener. So what do you use? We've talked about this before, too. But what
you
use
know,
is pretty
you
amazing.
Actually can use vinegar as well as a fabric softener. And people say, oh, sure, you put vinegar in your laundry. You can put a small amount in with your, just as you would put in fabric softener. And what it does is it breaks down all the soapy residue so that your clothes are natural when they come out, because you know, all that fabric softener does is coat your clothing with something that makes it softer and smells. And I get it. Lots of people love it. It's just not for me.
White vinegar is the second tip in your book. Laura Spurrier suggests, in addition to using it in the washing machine, to put it in the dishwasher as a rinse. This is where you – the little area of the dishwasher where you would put that blue product – you can just,
right.
Can you just pour that vinegar in there and leave it there, or are there corrosive nature? Do you have to add it to every single load? Because it seems to me that vinegar is acidic and it would corrode something sometime soon.
You know, that's a very common tip you see online, so I haven't tried it myself. And occasionally people give tips that I don't pass along because I'm not sure how it works.
Right.
But I checked that one out, and you see it listed very commonly. So,
or if your dishwasher just smells, you know, sometimes they just get to the point where they have a smell. Run a cycle with just vinegar in your dishwasher, and it will not smell when it's done. And it will not smell like vinegar either, Mike.
What is it about vinegar? Does anybody know what it is about vinegar?
It's just the acidic nature of it. It's a natural acid that breaks down so many things.
But it needs to be white vinegar, not the apple cider.
You can use any kind of vinegar you want.
You can, it can be that dark colored vinegar too?
You can use balsamic if you want, although I wouldn't recommend it. It's kind of expensive.
Why waste it on your clothes when you can enjoy it yourself?
When you can buy a gallon jug of the white stuff for $1.50, I mean, why bother?
Of course, if you must use fabric softener, either as a fabric softener or as a shoe polish, you obviously, Tara, would advocate finding a coupon for it.
Absolutely.
And using that at the grocery store. This is about spending less, saving more, cutting back on waste, and that includes time. So it would seem to me that it takes a lot of time. to search out the coupons and clip them and save them and sort them and then find them and then use them. My gosh, kill me now.
Well, I think if you start in a simple way, you know, you start with maybe 7 products that your family uses, not the ones you want. It's the ones you need. You know, it's not the smelly whatevers, because we wouldn't want to do that. But so it's maybe if it's dog food and dishwashing detergent, paper towels, toilet paper, and just cut those coupons out in your Sunday paper. You know, when you see them, and when those products are on sale, buy extra with the number of coupons that you have. So you start saving money slowly on just a few products and then add to it. So I kind of enjoy my Sunday mornings with my coffee, my Observer, and, you know, cutting out the coupons and putting them in my little thing. And
how much time would you say you spend on this on an average weekend or week?
It takes me maybe 10 minutes to cut out coupons. And what I do is I plan my meals for the whole week on a Sunday before I go to the grocery store. So I know what I'm going to buy at the grocery store. I make a list. I know what I'm going to eat for the whole week. And so I really, to me, think I save time because it's no, hey, what are we having for dinner? I don't care. What do you want to have? I don't know. I didn't defrost anything. Let's go pick something up. I mean, it saves from all that. So honestly, I think couponing and the planning I do on Sunday maybe takes about an hour and a half. It saves me all through the whole week.
And then there are some grocery chains that will 2-for-1 your coupons.
They double them.
Do you make a point of going there on the days that they promise to double those coupons?
Yeah, I think you should take advantage of those coupon type events because some like Buy Low and Harris Teeter and Lowe's actually double up to 99 cents all the time. And then sometimes some stores have super doubles where they'll double everything at $2 value or less. So you could take advantages of those too. And you know, those are good ways to stock up on some of your products.
You know, I've tried to do this, and I've noticed that most of the coupons, and I know that you have a tip about only cutting out coupons for the products that you use, but most of the coupons that I find in the paper are for products that I never use and never have used and have no interest in using. What does that say about me or the paper?
Well, the Charlotte Observer's got something for everyone, Mike. So, you know, all you need is one or two to get your subscription back right there.
Seriously, do you find that a lot of stuff in the paper or in coupons?
You're not going to cut out every single coupon. Right? And I think people make that mistake because they think, oh, I have to go buy this because I have a coupon for it, which is a waste of money and time. What I do at work, we have a coupon train. So I take all the coupons I don't use and I pass them along. And then eventually they get through everybody and most of them are gone by the end of
now
it.
That's a great idea.
You say that the way you approach couponing is not the way they approach it on that TV show, Extreme Couponing, which I have never seen. So what do they do and how is it different from
most of those shows? They collect coupons. They dive in the dumpster. They get them from friends. They buy them from clipping services. So they're going with 300 Oral-B 75 cents off coupons to the store, and they're buying 300 of them, where I don't really think you would ever use 300 toothbrushes in any amount of time. And some of those folks just load up on a lot of, you know, really products that are going to go bad.
Do people really buy toothbrushes? I have to ask this because I go to the dentist and I always get like 15 toothbrushes to take home and I've got a drawer full of toothbrushes. I don't have to buy toothbrushes ever.
I do, especially when I can get them for free or close to free because I use them all over the house for different cleaning things and stuff like that. So,
What about apps? There are apps like RetailMeNot for your smartphones and things like that. Are they easier to use, more challenging to use? Are they good things to take advantage of?
RetailMeNot makes it so easy. It's a free app. You walk into a store, you click it, you search the store, and then they'll have the coupon code right there, and you just show it to the cashier. They scan it. You save 20% at Michael's or wherever, and it's easy. It's so easy.
But aren't they tracking every single thing you do when you do that?
They are anyway.
I don't think you can get away from the whole Big Brother thing anymore. So
they already know you're in the store.
Yes.
Are there particular products or categories of products that you have found lend themselves to the better coupon deals or just coupon deals in general?
I think a lot of your laundry detergents, soft cereals, salad dressings, pasta sauce, there are coupons for that all the time. Like right now, if you're trying to lose weight and you want to get some of those healthier kind of brands, the Kellogg's protein stuff, there's tons of coupons out there right now for those. and they're also on sale in most of the stores. So, you know, I think it's a variety of things, and it changes through the year. So soon all the Super Bowl friendly stuff, coupons, will start coming out. So, you know, it changes throughout the year.
Prinny on Facebook writes, I've decided to do the 52-week money challenge. I don't know what that is, but I don't eat a lot anyway, she says, but I barely ever eat out unless I have a coupon, and almost never buy electronics, books, supplements in person. Amazon is my friend. Have the guests heard of the 52-week money challenge?
I have not.
Well,
Prinny, write back and enlighten us, because we know nothing.
I'm all about Amazon, though. I completely agree that Amazon.
Why?
Well,
you can get anything.
You can get anything.
Think of all these local retailers where you can buy these products as
well. Well, I do support local retailers, but if I need to buy, I'm trying to think of a good example, dog food, you know, show me a local pet store anymore. They're all chains. So why not just order it from Amazon and have it delivered to my front porch? And when I order enough, I don't have to pay shipping. So I don't have to go out. I don't have to do anything. I just have to go online and order.
I don't know where I read this. Maybe it was in your book. Maybe it was in the paper this morning, where you make sure that you order enough from Amazon or from anybody, where you don't have to pay shipping. So for instance, if you don't pay shipping, if you buy something – if you spend $99 many times, you don't have to pay for shipping. Is it wise, if you're ordering a $20 item, to make sure you order more items so that it adds up to $99 just so you can save the $6 on shipping?
Well, on Amazon, it's $35, and I can spend $35 and drop them.
But
I'll tell you what, if I go to Amazon and I'm looking for example, yesterday I wanted a book on guinea pigs for my niece. Well, it didn't come up to $35, but I did need some rabbit food. So I went and got some rabbit food and threw that in the bucket at the same time.
Talk to me about Groupons. Groupons are the bread and butter now of the Charlotte Observer, and I'm sure that you talk about them in your blog, The Deal Diva for Moms, Tara. These are things where you pay money, but you get a great deal.
Oh, yeah. And it's temptation. And, you know, those emails will come and it'll be on a spa service or something like that. And I think people can go out and buy things that they think, oh, that would be really neat to do. But really, to use Groupon and Deal Saver and a lot of those other ones more effectively, you need to look for services that you'll actually use. So I'm a big Coldwater Creek shopper, and they – just recently had where you buy a $25 voucher for $50 value, and then they were having a big sale. So I ended up getting about $100 worth of merchandise for the $25 investment I made on Groupon. So you can save.
I don't know how I got on the list because I don't use them, but I get Groupon emails every day. I get Deal Saver emails almost every day. I don't know where they came from, but there may be people out there who don't get their emails and don't know about this. How do you get on the list?
You go in and register, and it's not just good for if you're at home. So let's say you're going to go to Philadelphia, and you're looking for a restaurant in Philadelphia. Put in Philadelphia and search the city Philadelphia, and it'll come up with all these restaurant deals that are going on in Philadelphia for restaurants that you probably would never have known about. You buy a Groupon, then you get a real good deal at a new restaurant in Philadelphia or wherever you're traveling.
You write about something, Terry, that I'd never heard about before called collaborative consumption. What is – isn't that you? You're giving me this blank look. Maybe it's you. No, it's you, Terry. I've got it written here down in my notes. It says you've written on your website about a way of saving money called collaborative consumption. You say it's a business model that is the champion of the green movement.
Well, I suspect that what we're referring to is really repurposing. So if I buy for example, my daughter's going to need a prom dress coming up here pretty soon. I'm not going to run out to the store and buy a new one. There's plenty of resources where we can go rent one.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yes. We can, I'm in Goodwill right now looking all the time to see if there's something out there that she might like. You can.
She must love you.
I will say this. When my daughter was in middle school, she probably hated this idea, but we came up with a thing where starting shortly after she entered high school, where I give her X number of dollars every month. She has to buy everything herself, her clothing, her movies, her gas. You know, she gets an income and she has to budget it. And that girl will shop at a Restore store now. She loves them because it's her money that she's spending. Mm-hmm. And she's much, much more conscientious. And the things that you find. I mean, I walked into Goodwill a couple weeks ago and found a pair of Stuart Weitzman shoes for $3. those shoes are like $300 in the store.
Right.
So you just have, you have to go. You can't just walk in with an idea of I'm going to buy a pair of shoes. You have to frequent them. The ReStore is another great place if you're looking to furnish your homes. And all of these places, the money that they're making are going right back into our community to build new houses or to provide employment training. I mean, it's like a train. It just keeps benefiting.
And I didn't find this out until a couple of weeks ago, but at the depths of the recession, when home builders were going belly up in many cases, they were pulling appliances out of homes that were being repossessed and taking them to the ReStore. You could get a Viking range, which would cost you $5,000 for like $500 back then. So you need to shop there every once in a while just to see what they have. Well,
and if you're considering a demolition project, ReStore will come and pull out your cabinets for free and take them away. You don't have to pay for disposal. You don't have to pay for the labor for them to come take them out. They will come and take them out and sell them in their store and build a house for somebody.
Yeah.
It's a great way to just keep furthering your dollar.
And this show is about how to save money on consumption, but as consumers, we are also wasters, and that's an example of not wasting, of
Absolutely.
Recycling.
Trying to find ways not to throw anything away. I mean, I really make a game of it, and I know you probably do too, Tara, but you know, if I'm at the store shopping and I need to buy sour cream, I'm buying it in the container that I can reuse, that I will reuse over and over again, that will end up in my kid's lunch, and I might not ever see it again, but I didn't pay for anything, and
right.
I've used that container probably 4 or 5 times. I make a game out of how much I can get out of something.
Yeah, and you know, that's really true with a lot of clever readers. We're constantly talking about how to repurpose things and whatnot, and you know, for a lot of our readers, you know, they grew up without a lot, and you know, through the course of human history, not to get too big picture about all of this, that you know, most people in most societies haven't had a lot of stuff, and so you were supposed to use everything and you know, reuse it if you could. And so, for a lot of readers, this has been ingrained to them over many generations because wasting was a sin. So, if you can get by with less, that's great.
Have you ever thought just about buying cream, using it in your coffee, letting it go sour and using it as sour cream? I'm just kidding. It's a
no,
joke.
I've never gone that far.
It's a joke.
But I'm going to think about it now.
Dryer sheets, as I said a few minutes ago, seem to be a running theme in this show among your readers at The Observer who are sharing tips with other readers, both used and unused. Talk about what can be done with dryer sheets. And, you know, and as you say, you don't have to use the whole dryer sheet. You can cut them in half. Can you cut a new one in half, throw it in the dryer, and have it be as effective, whatever that means, as a full dryer sheet?
Yeah, well, that's what readers say, and I actually tried that one out myself. Not that I'm exactly the laundry king, but it worked great. So people use them for dusting as well, and another thing, I don't use Swiffer, but we get tons of suggestions about Swiffer sheets and whatnot. And Terry's probably not a Swiffer fan, and I'm not either, but people are really obsessed with them. So.
I love them.
Well, see, I do the same. I clean the same way, only I use a cloth and then wash the cloth. I don't just keep reusing the Swiffer sheets,
right.
You know, because they're...
Well, you know, there's a tip in the book, and you've talked about this too. There's a tip in the book about one woman saying, I don't use paper towels. What I've done is gone out and bought white cloth.
That's me.
Washcloths.
That's me.
And I stick them in a stack on the kitchen counter, and when I have to clean up a spill, I use it, and I toss it in the laundry, and then I wash them again and put them back in the stack. Well, isn't that using energy? Are you really... You're probably saving some money on paper towels, but aren't you also causing your energy bills and the water usage bills to go up with all the laundry you're doing, cleaning and using towels over and over?
If I have one full load of cloths a week, that would be a really big week for me.
And you have to fold them.
No, mine are washcloths, so I just stack them, put them in a drawer. There's no folding.
Okay. Getting back to dryer sheets, one of the tips was you can use – a used one can be used to take soap scum – off shower doors. They can clean the outside of appliances by removing grease. You can soak burnt pans in warm water with a dryer sheet, and they'll be clean in 3 to 5 minutes. This is all from your book. You should read it sometime. We're going to come back and talk more about this in a second. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members in the Wine Vault, hosting a wine dinner at Sullivan's Steakhouse, a four-course meal with 6 wine pairings, and Barnett Vineyards Winemaker, January 13th at 7. Reservation 704-548-9463. former Representative Gabby Giffords was injured, of course, in a mass shooting in Arizona 3 years ago, but gun control efforts have stalled at the federal level. And Diane Ream and her guests will take a look at where the debate on all of that stands today in about 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on the Diane Ream Show. Perhaps you have some tips on saving money, wasting less, some innovative things that you have found to do around the house, maybe help you keep your New Year's resolutions about being more thrifty. You can get in touch with us at WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks, and we are coming right back.
See Theater Charlotte's final rehearsal of the Southern comedy, The Miss Firecracker Contest. It's the story of a woman who hopes winning the local beauty pageant will change her reputation. Go behind the scenes with WFAE on Thursday evening, January 23rd at 7:30. Learn how you can join us at WFAE.org.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Terry Bennett is with us, the founder of Do Your Part. That is the website that she has been running for several years with tips on how to be more green and to save money at the same time with things you do around the house. Tara McAllister is the deal diva for mom. She's a couponing lady. That's a derogatory term.
It's fine.
But she's a couponer, and she has great tips on how to save money and organize yourself to collect coupons. And Roland Wilkerson is assistant features editor of the Charlotte Observer's I'm So Clever column, among other things, and the person behind the I'm So Clever book, which is a collection of tips from readers about things you can do. I'll come back to this dryer sheet in the pan thing. Mm-hmm. If you have burnt something in a pan and you can't get the burnt residue off the pan, you can take warm water, put it in the pan, put a dryer sheet in the pan.
And let it sit.
And it takes the burnt stuff off? How?
It's whatever is on, and I know it's probably bad stuff,
know.
But
well,
it
lifts. That's a good indication why you shouldn't use it for other things, right? Go ahead.
It lubricates it enough to get it off. And I think there's something about the cloth that tries to, like, you know, pull things to it. It's got some kind of the fibers in it. So it's now 3 to 5 minutes. I wouldn't say 3 to 5 minutes. It definitely was a 20-minute process. But it definitely works and gets some of that off.
Here's another tip, because I've used SOS and Brillo pads in the past. You probably don't like that idea, Terry, but
no, I have some.
Okay, and when you use them,
you really think I'm like militant, don't you?
Yeah,
not. You know, and what I tell people, you won't do everything. I don't do everything, but do something.
Okay.
Okay.
But in your book, you talk about SOS, or your readers talk about SOS and Brillo pads and how you use them, and then, you know, they rust because they're metal. And there are a couple of tips on what to do about that. You can put, SOS pads in the freezer, in a little baggie in the freezer.
Right, yeah. And then you just, you pull it back out, you know, as you need it, and then you put it back in again.
And with Brillo, and I guess this works with both, you could put Brillo in the freezer too, and I guess you could, this is a Brillo tip, but you could probably use it with SOS. You take a little tub with baking soda and put it in the tub with baking soda between uses. What's so magic about baking soda that will prevent these metal
pads from rusting? I think it slows down the rusting process, probably.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Somebody mentioned putting a little piece of, like some coffee. If you have some coffee grounds or some coffee beans, you can put them in the refrigerator, and that will get rid of any refrigerator smells.
Sounds good.
It will absorb the sound.
Well, baking soda does the same thing.
Baking soda does the same thing.
Which would you prefer to use?
Well, baking soda is cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. Baking soda is cheaper than coffee. That is true. Another option that appears from several contributors in your book, use mesh onion bags, bags that onions come in.
Yeah.
Ball them up and use them as scrubbers for your pots and pans.
Yeah.
Make your own pad.
Yeah. And then you've had, we had several suggestions for people who've used, men who've used their wives' pantyhose to put slivers of soap in and turn it into like a little scrubby. And you would not believe the number of suggestions and dialogue back and forth about what to do with slivers of soap as they get smaller and smaller.
Are you sure that they're the wise pantyhose that they're using? Terry, have been suggesting a similar tip that the tips that are unconventional and that might be viewed as extreme by some people. How much resistance And I know that you say, and I you just characterized me as characterizing you as militant, but how much resistance do you get from people? How many people's eyes get wider? Because you are not the kind of person, people who've grown up watching you on TV, they wouldn't think of you as the kind of person who would care about all of this, and you are, because you're a scientist.
Well, you know, first and foremost, I'm a mom, and I want to create a healthy environment for my family, and I want to save money along the way. And because I'm a scientist and I understand both sides of the equation, I'm trying to really change the green conversation away from let's save the polar bears to let's create a healthier place to live. And so when you read my stuff and my books, I mean, I've never written about run out and buy a new hybrid, go put solar panels on your roof. I'm not into that. I just want to help educate people about the simple things you can do that are easy to do, that are practical, that are very practical. I'm all about practicality.
Let me bring, I think it's Don. They've misspelled his name, but let me bring Don into this conversation for a second. Don, welcome. You're on WFAE.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to make a comment on something Terry said, which I think is real important. She mentioned about giving her daughter an allowance, basically money that she would otherwise be spending on her daughter, and all of a sudden her daughter now, you know, saw the importance of going to the thrift shop or whatever. I did the same thing with my two kids when they were in late elementary school. Kids growing up, they're powerless, and so when you go in the store, they're always saying, hey, you know, give me this, can I have that, give me this, and just figured up how much money I would spend on clothes and other things. Otherwise, for them, parcel that out four times a year, each quarter. Said, here, it's yours. You figure it out. And very early on, they started making intelligent decisions on budgeting. And the next time my daughter walked into a store right after we did this, something that was very frou-frou-ish, which she wanted, give me this. She saw it and said, man, that costs too much.
Yes.
Well, you're saving money and learning about the value of money at the same time. So that's thank you for that, Don. I appreciate it. Tom emails on the subject of couponing. It has been my experience and my wife's, too, that we save more money by buying store brands than by buying the name brand products, even with the coupons. Do you find that to be true?
You need to use the coupon when the item is on sale to get the best value. So buying something full price, which I could not, that would just drive me crazy. But if you want to buy Tide and Tide's not on sale and you're only going to use a coupon, yeah, you probably could use the store brand.
Is there a danger in using coupons, whether they be for groceries or for clothing, because a lot of stores now offer, you know, days where if you have the coupon, you can get 40% or 50% off a full price item. The danger, it seems to me, there is that, oh, I got this coupon, I can get 40% off. I'm going to go buy something, even though I don't need anything. I'm going to go buy something. I'm not saving money. They're still making money at the store when they're giving you the 40% off. So is there a danger in wasting money by spending money on things that you don't need just because you get the discount?
I agree. That is probably one of the biggest mistakes people who start to coupon really religiously make, is that they start to say, oh, I've got this coupon, I've got to go buy it. You have to look at, like, what do you really need? Do I need this air freshener? Do I really need that other dress? But when you need a dress, you go and find the coupon, and then you go to the store. So a lot of times it's what I need, and I find the coupon for what I need first and then go do it versus just collecting random coupons.
You also suggest that you understand the lingo, and you put some acronyms in here like BOGO, WYB, and Blinky. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, so BOGO is buy one, get one free. And a lot of people think that you actually have, you know, when they say ice cream, buy one, get one free, you have to buy both. But you don't. You don't have to buy both. You could buy just one.
And get half off.
And you can use a coupon on any of those items either, both. So, and then you have WYB is what when you buy. So sometimes when you buy the pasta sauce, you can get 30 cents off the pasta. So that's something you'll see. A Blinky is those little red boxes that you might see in the grocery store that have the little tiny coupons in them.
Amazing. And they blink. As you walk by,
as you
comes
walk
out.
By. Yeah. But very rarely are those items actually on sale that week that Blinky is out. So I'll just take one or two of those coupons that week, and in a week or two when that item is on sale, I've got that coupon to use then.
They must bar you from the store. They see you coming and lock the doors. You also say that, I never would have thought this was true. You also say that drugstores are a great place to save on health and beauty items, even groceries. And that seems counterintuitive.
I know.
Because it would seem to me that a bag of chips at the grocery store or at the drugstore or a loaf of bread at the drugstore is going to cost you more than the grocery store right down the way, isn't it?
Well,
really?
Drugstores actually offer their own coupons that you can use jointly, what we call stacking with a manufacturer's coupon. So, for example, CVS has a coupon kiosk. So you run your little card underneath it and it pops out all these things. Plus, they offer rewards. So recently, cereal was really cheap. I think I got about 75 cents a box for some Kellogg's cereal at CVS. And I had a manufacturer's coupon. I used that. I had a store coupon, used that, and then I got a $2 back rewards for that. So it's just looking out and opening up your mind of where you could buy things.
We are keeping track of some of the things or many of the important things that we're talking about, the tips for saving money and things to do to do that on our website at wfae.org/charlottetalks. They may not be up yet, but at the end of the program, we will take this list that we're compiling as we have this conversation and put it up there for you to go back so you don't have to write all this stuff down. Dorothy emails, I grow lavender, dry the buds, and take tea bags, sealing inside the buds. I then throw this into the dryer to make the clothes smell great, and you can reuse these bags several times. Then, after the bags start to tear, I dump the buds out onto the carpet and vacuum them up. The vacuum will grind them and send the scent out into the room. I can place a tea bag into my air conditioner vent next to the filter, and it will blow the scent through the house.
I love you, Dorothy. You are awesome.
Tell me how to grow lavender that well in North Carolina. I had the hardest time with lavender.
Oh, it needs lots of sun.
Okay.
Lots of sun, yes.
Well, I'll go over to Dorothy and get some lavender from her. One of our biggest expenses, I would think, around the house has got to be energy bills, particularly this past week. The heating bills are going to be astronomical next month. Saving money there, I would think, can really add up. And you've recommended, Terry, investing in something called the Energy Detective. What is that and how much does it cost?
Well, you know, there are all kinds of things out now that you can use to monitor your energy usage. I'll give a couple of quick tips that I, especially this past week, if you have a fireplace in your house, and so many of us do in the Southeast, and so many of us are not using it, and the flue is closed and we think nothing more of it, stand next to that fireplace and feel the draft going up it during the wintertime. Warm air rises. It wants to go out the chimney. I recently bought something called a fireplace balloon. It was about $50. You put it up in where the flue is. You inflate it like a balloon. And there's a tag that hangs down so you always know it's there. And it just completely seals off all the air going up and out of your chimney, which is 24/7 even when the flue is closed. And in the wintertime, it's a huge exhaust on your house. And the other would be your attic entryway. Many of us don't have we spend all this insulation on the attic, but the attic door is completely wide open. Again, just a huge exhaust of hot air going up and out in the wintertime.
So you put one of those sealer things up?
You can buy them. You can make them. They're fairly easy to make as well, particularly now that you can buy insulating board that is reflective on one side, so you can really use that in a very smart way. And we've got some of those suggestions on our website at doyourpart.com. But the other thing I want to talk about too is we talk about all these appliances and all these electronics.
Phantom power.
My goodness. I mean, if it's becoming a huge problem in this country, in that the average American household wastes 10% of energy every month just leaving our chargers plugged in.
And so let's be clear about that. We all charge our phones every day, or used every other day, and we all have portable computers that have little things that plug in. And people sometimes just disconnect the phone and leave the charger plugged in. That's actually using energy when it's not connected to the phone.
If the charging cord has a box of any kind, that little box is sucking energy all the time, even when it's not charging. So there are three culprits for phantom power. One would be anything with a continuous display, like your television or your satellite box. Not practical things to turn off every day. You don't want to turn those off. You don't want to lose your settings. Anything with a remote has the same kind of continuously sucking thing. But
because
again,
it has to be able to see the remote.
Not practical. You probably don't want to turn those off all the time. But any charger, if it's left plugged in and it's not charging, it is still sipping power. So simple solution, buy a smart strip with an on-off button, put all your chargers in the smart strip, turn the button off when you're not charging. It cuts the power to the chargers.
So, what about things like you know, the microwave is only on because it has a clock.
And many of us use the clock. So, you know, how practical is it to always unplug it? My coffee maker, however, has a clock. I don't use the coffee maker clock. I unplug the coffee maker. Your toaster is not sipping power when it's plugged in, unless it has a clock on it.
Okay. And there are things like DVRs. You can't unplug them because it takes 10 minutes for them to boot up.
Right.
I mean,
it's not practical for everything, but it's certainly, you know, practical for a lot of things.
Okay. Home automation is becoming the thing. There's a big story this week, I think, in The Observer about Lowe's. They're debuting their own home automation system. They are already selling the Nest thermostat, as is Home Depot. And then Time Warner Cable has their own version of home automation that they've been rolling out in the last couple of months. Gives you the ability to turn lights on and off, regulate the thermostat, even while you're away from home through your smartphone and other devices. Is it worth the expense of installing these devices? There was a story on NPR this morning about how that you could now, you know, hit your smartphone, and when you walk in the door, the lights will come on, the heat will already be at 72, and music will be playing. Is it worth the money for that?
Well, I'm guessing if that's your bag, then it probably is. You know, I think some people love all that stuff. You know, to me, you ought to just walk in the house and turn on the lights.
Although these automated thermostats where you can program temperatures.
The programmable thermostats don't require all this other gadgetry. Yes, absolutely good investment. Absolutely good investment.
Because why heat the home at the comfortable temperature you want it to be when you're there for the 8 hours a day that you're not there?
Or when you're sleeping, because most of us sleep more comfortably when it's cooler anyway.
Right. So that you can tell the thermostat, okay, I go to work at 8, I'm back at 5, heat the house at 4:30.
And it's a misconception that it takes more energy to get the heat back up to that level. Mm-hmm. It is always going to be a money-saving technique if you lower your thermostat.
Now, you wanted to talk, I think, about dryer vent cleaning. Why is that important?
Well, you know, of all the energy hogs in your house, of course, there's your HVAC unit, which is first. Your dryer is number two.
30 seconds.
Clean the vent line, not just the vent, the lint trap, but the line from the dryer to the exterior of your home at least once or twice a year.
Yeah.
Prevents fire hazards, reduce the amount of time your dryer needs to run.
One of your readers has suggested using a leaf blower to blow out the
Great idea. Just blow it out, not in.
And then somebody said, this is very quickly, somebody said put your telephone, if you use it as a music player, put it in a glass or in a cup, and that will amplify the sound and improve the quality of the sound. You don't have to spend $80 on a Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah, that works great.
We're out of time. Roland Wilkerson from The Observer, Tara McAllister, the Deal Deeper from Mom's Blog, and Terry Bennett from Do You.